Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that also kind of misses the lava monster, it's Sif Pop. Welcome to Sif Pop, available in your podcast feed every Monday, unless, of course, you get it early as a patron.
Because patrons get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's got your car, and he's already in Colorado. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
Ahoy!
Each week, we will chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. What is on our minds, Andrew Ormsby? How are things?
I almost said aloha, but I didn't know if that was actually topically correct or not. Because I don't think it's the Hawaiian Islands, is it?
No, not necessarily.
Kind of ambiguous a little bit.
Yeah, it's it feels very Polynesian. Let's say that, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm doing well. Excited to talk about these movies. One of them I was really excited, you know, all year to see. And the other one I had no idea existed. So it was a fun... I got from both ways. It was great.
Yeah. That's part of the fun of being a movie lover, right? Is like you kind of, I guess I interact with movies differently than a lot because I try not to pay attention to like promotions and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, even I know Moana 2 is coming or, you know, these bigger movies are happening. But then you balance that with these movies you never heard of and you just, you know, throw it in and kind of see what you think. And it kind of works for me. So, yeah, I like that balance.
Oh, it's so cool.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, let's get into it. Let's start with the buried treasure. What's the one thing in any area of pop culture that you want people to know about? Andrew, what do you got?
Aaron, I have to thank you for coming up with this week's best ever challenge because it made me scratch off a movie from my list of shame.
Okay, what was it?
I had always wanted to see this movie, and you may have even had it as a buried treasure, and if so... I just like to reiterate that it was a good movie. I am, of course, talking about the 1995 submarine film Crimson Tide, starring Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington. Had you had this as a buried treasure before?
I don't. It's very possible. It's certainly worth it. It's a great film.
Oh, this is an incredibly captivating movie that was only made the more remarkable by the performances from our two leads. I think Gene Hackman is such an imposing and intimidating force in this film. So when you see Denzel Washington stand up to him and then stand firm on his ground, you could cut the tension with the knife. It was so, so enthralling. I like how the film serves this multifaceted dilemma to the submarine captain and his first mate over this coded message that could lead to a nuclear launch. It's such a great premise for a film. I don't know if it was... I should have looked this up. I'm going to see if it's based on a book or anything before it was a...
Screenplay?
Screenplay. And the answer is Loading. The answer is Loading. It was a story by Michael Schiffer and Richard P. Henrich before it was a screenplay. So well, there we go. Directed by Tony Scott. Love Tony Scott. It was, yeah, a beautiful film. And there's just something about submarine movies. They know how to do tension really well. I think of this and Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, there is a, like an unknown to being underwater, right? Mm-hmm. That adds to tension in a really cool way. And many movies have played off of this from, you know, and we will talk about, I'm sure, more of them when we get to our best ever challenge. But the idea that you can only see so far in front of your face and that you're in kind of an alien environment, you know, we don't live under the water. And so it's this place that we are not adapted to. And so whether you're in a boat that goes underwater or whether you're swimming underwater, it's just this very tense and interesting thing. So, yeah, I think submarine movies work. I think this one works. There's something about a movie that has two charismatic leads like this just playing off each other and against each other that works really well, too. So, yeah, you got to see Crimson Tide if you haven't seen it. So I'm glad you caught up on that one.
Yeah. What you got, my friend?
I am in the midst of watching awards movie after awards movie right now. My ballot is due. My nomination ballot is due, excuse me, here in, as we record this, 4 days I have left. Of the 80 or so movies that I wanted to watch before I got there, I'm down to 6 more left. And all 6 of those I don't have access to. So I've managed to catch up on everything I wanted to. One of them that I watched is called Exhibiting Forgiveness. Exhibiting Forgiveness. And I wanted to bring this one up. Now, when I go through this time and watch these movies, a lot of times it's difficult to know when to talk about them, because you can look at the release date on something and it may have been a festival that it played at, or so sometimes I don't know where or when you can watch these movies. And so I apologize for that, because sometimes it's hard to really understand when something is going to be widely available to watch. But Exhibiting Forgiveness is really, really good and worth your time. Andre Holland, I think, is one of the greatest actors working, and he is so good in this movie. And John Earl Jelks plays his estranged father, Laurent. And it's really a movie about fathers and sons, which we've seen before, but it's really a movie about the different ways that forgiveness looks in traumatic situations. Because many times we see in the movies ideas of forgiveness means reconciliation or, happy endings or those things. And forgiveness doesn't always look like that. And the character Terrell, played by Andre Holland, is an artist. And the way the movie incorporates his art into his processing of his childhood trauma and his ability to forgive his father, or inability to forgive his father, as the case might be, is, I think, just powerful and beautiful and was captivating to me. So lots of great moments in this movie, lots of great one-on-ones, lots of great thinky, philosophical heart stuff that just, I like to chew into. So Exhibiting Forgiveness is one to check out whenever and wherever you can. I don't know.
Oh, I love this movie. Good luck finding it.
Yeah, I know. I feel so bad sometimes, but that's kind of the point. I mean, part of what they're doing is trying to, with awards releases altogether like this, is to drum up a little bit of anticipation and a little bit of awareness. And so I'm throwing that awareness out there because I think this one deserves it. And again, not sure when you'll have a chance to see it. I think it has been released already, technically, because it has box office numbers. Like, it has made, $500,000 or something at, some limited releases. So I know it's been released in a limited way. I just don't know necessarily when you'll be able to rent it on VOD or when it'll be streaming somewhere. Those kind of things. But yeah, it's really, really good and one worth checking out.
So that's Crimson Tide on VOD and Exhibiting Forgiveness nowhere.
Exhibiting Forgiveness wherever good movies might be found at some point. All right, there's our buried treasure. Let's head into the big dig. Let's review Moana 2.
You wanted to come this time.
You were gone forever.
It was 3 days.
Where are we going?
Before Maui stole Tifiti's heart,
our ancestors
wanted to connect our island to all the people of the entire ocean. It's my job as a wayfinder to finish what they started.
Wanna show our people just how far we'll go.
After receiving an unexpected call from her wayfinding ancestors, Moana journeys alongside Maui and a new crew to the far seas of Oceania and into dangerous, long-lost waters for an adventure unlike anything she has ever faced. Now, the production of Moana 2 is an interesting one. It spans the retaking of the Disney helm. So originally, the idea was Moana 2 was going to be a straight-to-Disney Plus release. It was going to be for subscribers and to bump subscriber lists. And then when his name is slipping my brain, Disney guy, step back. Oh, what's that?
I thought you were talking about The Rock. No, Bob Iger.
Yes. When Bob Iger stepped back in and was like, oh, I'll take the ship again. Thank you very much. He was like, what are we doing? Put this in movie theaters. And the box office will tell you he was right. But the question is it a good movie? What did you think about Moana 2, Andrew? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Low side of liked it.
Low side of liked it for Andrew. I'm going to say low side of it was just okay. This is teetering into didn't like it territory for me, but there's enough built into this material that I think I'm fine going with low side of just okay. So you seem to like it a little more than me. So talk a little bit of your thoughts on Moana 2.
It's interesting that you bring up the production because I didn't know anything about all that. And it actually makes my analogy that I'm about to give. It gives it a lot more root. So in the 90s, Disney started making straight to VHS sequels for their hit films. I think Aladdin 2, Lion King 1.5, extremely goofy movie. These sequels didn't have much more new to say than the first film. This movie reminds me of those bargain bin sequels you would find at Walmart, except that the production is a little bit better than what I would have expected from those movies. So I do want to give it grace. I think that the visual effects are obviously better than those. The songs don't feel quite as catchy. I mean, don't get me wrong. The song Beyond in this movie is quite a catchy song. It doesn't hold a candle to How Far I'll Go.
No. Or You're Welcome.
Or You're Welcome.
Or Shiny.
Funky Crab Legs, Funky Crab Legs.
This is my favorite song in the movie.
Yeah. So whenever you brought up the production, I'm like, oh, so maybe it was meant to be one of those original straight to release, not in theaters. So yeah, it gave me a lot more credence to that. So yeah, that was my general feeling coming out of this movie is it didn't feel, and maybe you're you find the meaning within stories really easily compared to me. So maybe you saw something that this movie was trying to say more than what I thought, and I didn't see anything new beyond what was rehashed from the first film.
It's trying to do something with connectedness. That's where it's trying to go. The idea, Moana's journey this time, I believe, is supposed to be about connecting lost tribes, right? The idea of being separated from heritage, separated from other people, separated from, and to find a way to find the things that are keeping us apart and take those out so that we can be together again. There's also the family aspect. It definitely paints a lot of group dynamics. This is a group adventure this time, not a solo adventure. There's a sister thing in this movie that I thought was adorable, that, you know, is part of it. And all of that, I think, is supposed to paint this idea of community, connectedness, you know, helping each other. And even Maui's storyline plays into that a little bit, because Maui from the beginning was, you know, a Mr. Solo. I don't need anybody. That was part of his character arc in the first movie. And it continues here as well to an even greater degree, with some sacrifice and those kind of things from different characters. So I think that's what it's trying to do. What I will say is it doesn't do it very well, in my opinion. And it doesn't have any moments where it digs into your soul and you go, oh, I feel the theme of this movie.
Yes.
I know what that feels like. I'm experiencing something with these characters. It just doesn't have that moment that locks you into what it's trying to say, in my opinion. And a lot of that comes down to, you know, my major thought about this movie, which is it is just, like you said, it's a bargain bin discount Moana in every conceivable way. You know, it's the music is worse. The animation is worse, although it's still gorgeous. But that the original animation was better than this.
All the water effects were otherworldly.
Mm-hmm. The story is worse. The dialogue is worse. And that's not saying it's terrible. It's just, if you're going into Moana 2 expecting the heights of Moana, you're going to be disappointed. It's just not that good. It's just not. And that's unfortunate.
It is. And I think the greatest sin that this movie commits, and maybe you don't agree, is I think that this sequel is just sequel baiting for a third sequel.
Sure, yeah.
Because the villain is a copy-paste generic rehash of the first villain, I think.
And has no real impact on the story. Like, in no real resolution until after the credits. And even that's not a resolution. Like,
you don't even meet the villain until the the mid-credit scene. That's wild. You just hear about him. And the film introduces a character whose only purpose is to sequel bait, and it's the Bat Lady.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm talking about. I think that's supposed to be the villain, quote unquote.
I could see that happening in like the third movie, but I don't think she really does anything enough.
That's what I'm saying. No, she doesn't. But I think that's the movie thinks she does. I could be wrong.
Yeah. I just may be missing it too, but it doesn't seem like this movie has anything new to say from the first one. Besides, or I guess you open up the community thing, but I think wasn't that also kind of the meaning of the first one, that she wanted to leave the island to find more people to prove that there were, you know, more tribes out there that have traveled the sea and everything, that you shouldn't be afraid. So it's kind of
But her character arc, yes, there were elements of that there, but the character arc in the first one was really about understanding the power and need for adventure. Like there is something that character had to learn how adventuring was important and how it wasn't. So there was a lot, the solo aspect of that first movie is a big part of the theme. She's figuring out what it means to break out of years of tradition and do her own thing and be, you know, her own, you know, wayfinder adventure and bring something new back to everybody. Yes, the purpose there was similar to this one, to, you know, find others and those kind of things. But her character arc is a little bit different. So, in my
opinion. Okay.
So, there you go.
Moana 2. Moana.
What else? Anything else you wanted to talk about?
I really don't have. There's the mid-credit scene, just so people know, but I really don't have much to say about this movie.
Everything I say is likely to come back to the discount version of Moana idea. But I think specifically I want to talk about the Maui character a little bit more.
Okay.
In that character is there's such a life to that character in the first one that just feels muted in this one. And I can't put my finger exactly on what that is. But they try to do stuff with like how the tribe reacts to the idea of Maui and, you know, the people on the ship. I don't know. It felt to me with that character and then I forget what they're called, the little coconut guys. I forget what that the Kokomori, that they muted both of those things in service of something that didn't quite work for me. I liked the Kokomori just being this tribe, you know, that we don't know anything about and are just fun and quirky and, you know, aside. Like, you look at Disney movies, and in the past, they're about your protagonist. And now movies just feel like everybody needs a backstory. Every character has to be something. And, you know, it's like, I don't know, if you made I'm trying to think of a good example, but if you made, say, Mulan,
okay,
today, it, you know, you'd feel like you had to make something about the dragon character. You know what I mean? Like,
the cricket has his own movie.
Yeah, the cricket would have to have his own moment where we learn about his lost childhood and how he lost all of his siblings in a flood or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's just, it's kind of annoying to me because I understand that you're trying to tug emotional heartstrings, but they're it becomes unfocused, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I just, you seem to be taking me places I'm not sure I care about. And you're not helping me care about, really.
In the real world, everyone matters. In a movie, not everybody matters yes. equally.
Right. Yeah. 100%. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, I would just say one more time, the music is pretty lame. It's not great. I think the one final thing I will say is if you are looking for a movie to go to with the family and have a good time, I think this is it. This is it. It will serve that purpose just fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think there are many 6 or 7 year olds who are going to come out of that movie, you know, unhappy. It's fun. It's pretty. It's, you know, got fun characters, fun moments. And they're singing. And then, you know, their idea of comparing it to the singing in the first one is not going to be the same as ours. So yeah, it's a fine time for the intended audience. It's just not as great a film as the first one is.
Yeah.
I think it's a fair way to say that. Totally agree. Well, there you go. Moana 2 in theaters now. Yeah, this is a good movie for kids. That's how I would finish that off.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
All right, let's move on to the best ever challenge. We're going to do best ever ocean movies. Now, this can be, you know, stretched, I guess, however you want to stretch it. But the idea here is that, you know, a large portion of the movie takes place on or in the ocean. So that opens it up to a lot of things. Certainly lots of movies could be in this category. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what you picked. Let's each mention 5 since there's just the two of us.
Good, because even though I personally hate the ocean, like I'm terrified of the ocean, turns out there's a lot of good ocean movies.
Yeah.
So I have 8.
Ocean's 11, Ocean's 12, Ocean's 8.
Yeah.
I'll let
you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
Well, I'll just take Finding Nemo off the board then and put in the list. Nobody is surprised by that choice. No. I've talked about how it's one of my all-time favorite movies in my top 5. Forever is so good. Andrew, what's your first nomination?
Well, I'm terrified of sharks, but I can't deny that it's one of the greatest movies ever. I'm going to go with Jaws.
Jaws on the board, as I knew it would be, so I didn't even put it in mine. I will then go with Titanic. I think Titanic has to be in there.
That actually slipped my mind, and I'm surprised because I thought I did a really thorough deep dive on Ocean movies.
I get it. Deep dive. I get it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, Titanic is definitely an Ocean movie. Ormsby.
Let's go with, mentioned earlier, let's go with The Hunt for Red October.
Yep, yeah. Hunt for Red October.
Alec Baldwin's so good in that movie.
I'm going to throw Life of Pi on this list. And
interesting.
It may be that I'm prioritizing it over a couple other nominations, not because it's the better movie necessarily, but because it is the better Ocean movie. And you know, that's not the general idea here, but I wanted to make sure it got a nomination because when I think of movies on the ocean, I think of Life of Pi. Like that is, you know, the whole gig. But yeah, I love this movie. So if it is beaten by a couple other nominations that are better movies, totally understand that. But it's close for me because I really love Life of Pi.
Oh, wow. I didn't care for it much. Mm-hmm. And, don't get me wrong. I love who directed that. That's a Yang or a Ang Lee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I love his movies. It just that one just maybe just went over my head and might need to watch it again.
It's so good. Mm. What do you got?
Oh, man. Even though this movie is in my top 100, I'm not going to nominate it. I'm going to go with a movie that's not very well known, but I want it to be very well known. I'm going to go with a foreign film called Kon-Tiki, K-O-N-T-I-K-I. This is the 2012 movie, not the 1950s movie.
Oh, okay.
Based on a true story, back in 1947... this explorer named Thor decided he wanted to travel across the 43,000 miles across the Pacific to see if it could have been done in a wood raft. Like how people, because I guess back then people didn't know how people traversed back in the olden days to go from island to island across the Pacific. And he said, well, they probably did it in a balsa raft made out of a raft made out of balsa wood. Balsa wood is very, very fragile wood. It's what they make a thumb depressors out of, or tongue depressors out of. Very, very, very soft.
I wondered wood. What a thumb depressor was.
Yeah, tongue depressor. But he said, no, they did it on a balsa raft. And I'm going to prove it to you because I'm going to do the entire journey with some sailors that I know. And yeah, it's a very captivating movie about how he wanted to do it as authentic as possible. These guys wanted to bring, like, you know, navigation equipment and everything's like, no, we're going to do it just how they did it. And the journey that they go on is really, really cool. The only person you may know is Gustav Skarsgård, who is one of the Skarsgård brothers.
Okay.
But yeah, really like Kon-Tiki.
All right. Kon-Tiki, the 2012 version of that movie. Let's see, what do I want to do next? Master and Commander, I think, has to be on this list. So I'm going to nominate Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. That movie is criminally underseen, in my opinion, and criminally under-franchised. I really feel like that should have been a franchise.
I was about to say criminally under-sequeled, which amounts to the same thing. So. Yes.
You know, Hollywood doesn't ever seem to miss an opportunity to franchise something unless it's something that I love, like Master and Commander, which, man, I could have watched Russell Crowe play that character for 7 movies and just it'd been awesome. But anyways, go watch the first one. It's great. The only one, I should say.
The only one.
What else you got, Andrew?
I'm going to go with the movie where Tom Hanks gives a good performance for the entire movie, and then a phenomenal performance for the last 15 seconds. I'm going to go with Captain Phillips.
For a second there, I had 2 movies that I was thinking you might be nominating, but then once you said the last 15 seconds, I knew what you were talking about. I think Captain Phillips is. I think Captain Phillips is a great movie.
I do
and
too.
I think it's overshadowed even in some ways by how amazing Tom Hanks is at the end when he lets everything out. But man, that's a good movie. It's really good.
It is really good.
I definitely had that in my list. I'm glad you nominated. It'll make my choice for my last one just a micro fraction easier. I have too many good ones.
I have the same problem.
Good ones. Well, we'll talk honorable mentions, but for my final nomination, I just wouldn't be me. Just wouldn't be Aaron Dicer if I didn't make sure Avatar: The Way of Water was on this list. So I'm going to nominate Avatar: The Way of Water. Which you might not think of as an ocean movie, except it's right in the title.
Yeah, it's right there.
So there you go.
I'm curious what it's rated on IMDb. 7.5, that's not shabby at all.
It's a great Avatar movie. It's great. So there you go. There's my final nomination. What is yours?
Final nomination? It's a movie that I guarantee you I would bet $1 trillion this would not win our best ever challenge list.
Ooh.
The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Because I know how much you hate this movie. Although you did say that you planned on going back to watch older Wes Anderson movies to see if you connect with them now in a different light, now that you've started to appreciate his newer work.
So, I have recently watched this movie. It didn't really change my opinion on it overall. I was able to find some more respect for it. I do another podcast now called Recotopia with the CinemaSins guys, with Jeremy and Chris. That was a big recommend. And so when it's a big recommend, the whole show's about that movie. So if you want to hear me talk about this movie and my thoughts on watching it again, then you can check out that episode of Recotopia for those full thoughts. But the short version is I'm still not a huge fan of this movie, but I do respect it more after watching it again. I just think it's really messy. It just doesn't work for me. Let's just say that. It just doesn't work for me. You know, I get it why other people like it though.
Recotopia. Just downloaded that episode, so nice. I like it. I like Life Aquatic because it deals with I think loss in a very profound way, but it also has an element of it's kind of like the movie has two different story arcs that it wants to focus on and two different messages it wants to hit home. And I think that it handles both of them really well. I think it is a really good movie when it deals with loss and how to deal with grief. And I think that it also has to deal with regret, because you have Steve Zissou, who's subtly with the Owen Wilson character, regretting that he wasn't there for him in his life and stuff like that, and that he wants to be there for him now, but he doesn't know how, because he's never expected to have this type of relationship with anybody in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's a lot of beauty, and I think that the soundtrack is just amazing. It's David Bowie done acoustically, so what could be wrong about that?
Yeah, that stuff is really cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about
Why Finding Nemo one.
Sure. I'm good with that. I figured it'd be either Be Finding Nemo or Jaws.
Well, I knew that for me, Finding Nemo is in my top 20 movies of all time. So,
well, there you go. Then that makes sense. Then, Finding Nemo is the official CIFPOP best ocean movie. So there you go. Congratulations to Finding Nemo. It's good that you're finally getting some recognition, you know?
Yeah, Pixar seriously.
Just been without recognition for so long.
Under the scene.
Speaking of a movie that wasn't mentioned but might be an honorable mentions, what did you have for your honorable mentions, Andrew?
One of them was The Little Mermaid.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, and Crimson Tide again.
Mm-hmm.
And Castaway.
I had Castaway. Yeah, that's the one I thought at first maybe you were talking about with Tom Hanks. And it's an interesting one. It was the most stretchy of the category for me. I went back and forth trying to figure out if I considered Castaway an ocean movie, because it's an island movie more than an ocean movie, really.
The ocean is his prison, or the island is his prison, and the ocean is what's keeping him there.
Yeah, I landed in the same place that I would be comfortable calling it an ocean movie. Wanted to mention Robert Redford's All Is Lost. Just a phenomenal little one-hander
That's one of those movies where everybody in the world appreciated that movie except for me. Like, I was watching that movie and go, I don't get it. I want to get it so bad because I know everybody else who told me to watch this movie.
Sure.
You're going to love it. It's a one-man act for the entire thing. He owns the screen. He's so captivating. And I'm just like, he's fixing a boat for 2 hours.
I can go stand on the dock and watch this.
Yeah.
That is, I'm sorry for that it hits you that way. It hits me the other way, which is I am very much captivated by the survival aspect of it. And, you know, I remember, do you remember Reader's Digest? You know, the little,
yeah.
So my grandma always used to get, that was like her one thing she subscribed to, you know, Reader's Digest. And back then when you say subscribed, it meant that they would send you a physical copy of something in every month. Yeah. Not just that you had access to a library of digital files.
There was no way to like this. Like and subscribe.
But there was always one, article, and I even forget what it was called, but it was a survival article. There was one like section every, you know, month, and I would just go through all her old Reader's Digest and just read the survival stories of like people who, you know,
back to basics.
People who you know, would survive these you know, crazy things. And so when I see movies like that, like All Is Lost, or, you know, whatever the James Franco one was, 100 and whatever days, 127 days, days probably wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, that would have been a very different movie.
They always have a special place for me. There's something about humans doing what it takes to survive that is interesting to me. And there's sometimes it's humans doing what it takes not to survive. And that's why I also mentioned The Perfect Storm in this. And that one is well worth a watch, too. And then I wanted to throw out a shout out to Blake Lively in The Shallows. I think is
shark movies.
Yeah, sharks. This is one of those where you have to suspend your disbelief and go, oh, sharks are petty, revengeful creatures.
Yeah,
this is that identify movie, humans to pick on.
This is the type of movie that I specifically hate, where they turn sharks into my worst nightmares. What is it? They rationalize all of my fears. Like, they bring them all to the surface. Like, oh, yeah, the sharks are evil.
Yeah, they validate that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Jaws does the same thing, except Jaws has an amazing human element to it.
Yeah. Well, I love the human element of The Shallows. I love the thematic stuff in The Shallows as well. There's a lot of really interesting relationship stuff that's going on there that's kind of metaphored in the survival part of it. And again, it's one of those survival movies, like I just mentioned. Like, you know, her figuring out a way to survive and a way to get out of this is a huge part of that movie. So I guess it's no surprise that I enjoy it. So those were some others I wanted to mention. All right, let's finish off with the final artifact.
Let's do it.
Let's talk about Sweethearts.
So you guys going to that thing at Tyler's later?
Your roommate, Tyler?
Gonna drink in his room?
Drinks in the room where I live. Yeah, I feel like we'll probably hit that up.
I like the girls that do drugs, girls
with cigarettes. Let's go make some memories.
Hi. I have a girlfriend.
Loyal guys are sexy.
Meet any cute guys here?
No, I'm still with my boyfriend back home.
I stayed with my high school boyfriend in college as
well. Oh, really?
He immediately cheated on me, so I registered him as a sex offender.
Oh.
Two college freshmen who decided to stick with their high school sweethearts have to pull a turkey dump and break up with them over Drunksgiving. And one chaotic night before Thanksgiving in their hometown, that puts their codependent friendship to the test. This is on Max. It is kind of completing the year of Kiernan Shipka. She's just been in a lot of stuff this year, and deservedly so. She's fun on screen. What did you think of Sweethearts? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Eeny, meeny, miny. No, I'm just going to go low side of okay.
Low side of okay. I'm on the low side of liked it. So we kind of reverse our orders on this a little bit.
Yeah.
I think why I land in Low Side of Liked It, why I have a light like of this movie, is the chemistry and the charisma of this cast. I really like Kiernan Shipka and Nico Haraga and Caleb Heron. Those three alone in this movie make it a fun watch for me. I enjoy their line delivery. I enjoy the characters they're playing. I enjoy the relationship between them. I don't know. There's just something eminently watchable about this movie where I just never found myself rolling my eyes or wanting to watch something else or being bored. I was just like, this is modern. It's, you know, very adult. It's not, you know, it doesn't feel like it's sanding off the edges unnecessarily. It feels real in that way, authentic to a certain type of college student. I don't know that that's every college student as much as movies would like us to believe. So I actually believe there are people who go to college to learn. I don't know. But it is, it feels authentic to a certain type of college age human being. I don't know. I enjoyed all the dynamics and enjoyed the humor and had a good time. And for me, that was enough to kind of overlook a lot of the cliches, some of the basicness, some of the other negatives that popped up for me. So what about you, Andrew? What are some of your general thoughts?
I could not disagree more.
Oh, nice.
Seriously, as you were saying things, I'm like, man, he's going over my notes, except he's just mirroring.
He's just reversing them.
Yeah, because I felt no on-screen chemistry between our two leads. I feel kind of bad because this is the second film
in a row. You didn't feel like they were like best friends?
No, at all. Oh, interesting. I didn't feel any on. It felt like they were talking at each other as opposed to each other. Like they were just reading their lines off at each other. This is the second film in a row where I've looked at Kieran and Shipka and I'm like, I don't think she's given a good performance again. But it's actually the person I'm most disappointed with was Nico Haraga's performance, because I felt like his comedic timing was totally off, and I felt that he was really the reason for the lack of on-screen chemistry.
Disagree on that. That's really interesting.
But our third, I called him a side character. You say he's one of our third leads. But
he definitely has a character arc.
Yes, totally. Caleb Heron. I think the movie should have been about him, because his story arc and his quest of self-liberation was the best part of the movie for me. I enjoyed his scenes the most. He was funny. He had great on-screen chemistry with the others. And just his own personal journey was something that I'm like, okay, I could see a beginning, a middle, and an end to his story arc. I'm kind of jumping around all over here. Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. Do it.
But it... Why I liked his story arc from the beginning to the end is because I found his character the most interesting. At the beginning of this movie, I'd say for the first 45 minutes, Aaron, I hated this movie. I was turning it off. I was pausing it to go do other things because I couldn't. I wasn't interested.
Now I'm curious if I'm the only one that likes this movie. I haven't looked at any like reviews or anything.
Really? I haven't either. We should do that sometime.
No. Continue talking. We can do that some other time.
Yeah. But yeah, for the first 45 minutes, I could not stand this movie. I felt no on-screen chemistry between our two leads at all. And one more thing that really made me mad. King Arthur was not a real dude. He was not a real dude. And that's where I'm going to end my review for this until, you know, we get into more discussion.
It looks like, wow, it looks like, at least on Letterboxd, the bell curve is pretty legit, like 9,000 and some 3-star ratings. So right down the middle, basically.
Okay.
And then an even amount of 3.5s and 2.5s and an even amount of 4s and 2s. So like it's maybe a few more 2s than 4s. So yeah, maybe people are leaning more towards not liking it like you. I don't know.
IMDb has a 5.6.
Okay. That's not terrible, right? just kind of normally in the
like 7 is the average. 5.6 is pretty low.
Well, I thought 7 on IMDb was really good. Maybe I'm totally off on that. But I will say that it does sound like you have the more majority opinion here. 59% on Rotten Tomatoes. It kind of feels like it's splitting people a little bit, which I guess, you know, makes sense if we're split on it as well. Yeah. One of the other things I really appreciated about this movie was its modern feel, but its Midwestern setting. So there's something that Hollywood doesn't do well, which is, in my opinion, which is to understand what it means to be in a flyover state. Right. Like there is a lack of understanding of what the Midwest is really like. Oftentimes it's a caricature. It's this idea of overly sweet people who are actually demonic and hiding terrible things. You know, like it's all a fake facade. And I felt like this movie understands that that's not all false. For some people it is, and for some people it's hiding something, but that there is a genuine kindness to the Midwest and, you know, the flyover states that is real. It comes from a real human place of care and compassion and kindness, and especially the Palmer stuff, the Caleb Heron stuff, where he's starting to understand that he can be who he is in the Midwest. Like, yeah. Because there's this idea that he has to leave to be himself, right? And I found that stuff really compelling, and it really worked for me. The other part of it that really worked for me is the anti-When Harry Met Sally ideas. I really love that this movie, in many ways, its main point was, can men and women be friends? And here, When Harry Met Sally very clearly says, no, that is impossible. And I think this movie says yes. And I think that might, maybe not you, but I think for some people that might be the reason that they end up not liking it, is because the movie is clear that friendship is a possibility between men and women. Of course it is. Because if it wasn't, how could anybody that was bisexual be friends with anyone? Like, you know what I mean? Like, of course it's possible. But anyhow. And
actually, that ending was something I really did appreciate about
this film. Good. Yeah.
We're not spoiling or anything, but whenever they do come to that conclusion, I was like, oh, thank God it's not another Hollywood cliche, that it actually has something to say.
Yes.
So, yeah, I really did appreciate. Two performances I do want to give shout-outs to really quick are Trammell Tillman and Joel Kim Booster, who played Coach Reese and Ethan, who took Palmer on his journey throughout the night. Mm-hmm. That trio right there was just the best.
Yeah.
I loved everything about that. We're introduced to a character named Claire, who has a moment of self making a big apology in a bathroom. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, you don't see that too often in movies, you know, where you have somebody who realizes the trauma they've done over many, many years, and that they're the ones to actually make that discovery and, you know, be the first to apologize, as opposed to somebody confronting them about it. And then that person has to, you know, do some self-reflection. Taking the first step was actually kind of refreshing. I like that.
Yeah, and it does the thing that movies are doing more now that I like, which is they're allowing every character to be nuanced. And this may sound like it flies in the face of what I said earlier about needing backstory on every character, but there's a difference here. They aren't giving you necessarily all the reasons and telling you all the backstory for it, but they are allowing characters in their actions in the movie to be more nuanced with how they're approached. In other words, they aren't twirling the mustaches of the villains, quote unquote, or the characters. In order for us to really root for a certain relationship, we have to root against another relationship, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the movie has very clear avenues towards that, and yet still manages to turn it on its head a little bit when it's time. And I don't know. I like that trend that we aren't having to paint people as terrible so that we'll like other people in movies. It's still there. And actually, it still serves a purpose in a certain type of movie. I'm not saying it's something that all stories should do, but I do like it, especially in relationship stories and human stories, where we get more of an opportunity to see the breadth of blame and humanity and, goodness, kindness, all of it, you know, in each person. So, I agree.
Nice.
So there you go. That's Sweethearts. Do you have anything else you want to mention about it?
No post-credit scene.
No, it does not have a post-credit scene. I will say one negative. I as much as I enjoyed where this movie went, I think the way it gets there in the end is a little rushed. I felt like it's a little truncated. It feels like the movie doesn't build to the end in the way I exactly wanted it to. It feels like it's trying to do a lot of work in the last 10 minutes. And I don't know if I'm the only one feeling that way, but I like the work it's doing. I just wish it had processed it better throughout, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think I understand it. For me, it felt kind of like a basic version of Superbad, where it was, you know, young people going on an epic journey in mm-hmm. order to accomplish a mediocre goal. You know, like for Superbad, it was them trying to get laid. Here, it's them trying to break up with people. You know,
right?
So,
yeah, makes sense. All right, there you go. That is Sweethearts. It is available to stream on Max. Well, we did it. Woo. We did it, Ormsby. We managed to do another podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today for Sif Pop. It is part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out again today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Much love and gratitude to our Sif Pop members. Love you, appreciate you. Thank you for giving monthly to make Sif Pop a real thing. Support starts at $3 a month. You can check all that out at patreon.com/SifPop. Lots of ways to connect with the podcast. Feel free to leave a comment, a rating, or a review wherever you listen. You can also email us feedback@SifPop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too, so make sure you let them know about it and that listening is much easier than tooth-climbing a rope to get to your magical fish hook. We'll be back next week with a couple more movies, and we'll see you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.